Hi viewers, it's Steve from Chamberlain's again, and I'm here with Kieran May from Across Business talking all things JobKeeper, SGC amnesties and strategy about recovering post-corona. Kieran, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Steve. Good. Yourself?
Yeah, I look really, really well. I'm chilling at home in the home office and enjoying a coffee which is already complete and finished and looking forward to the next one. What about you? What are you up to today?
Having a coffee.
Nice.
Yeah, well, actually, very, very busy. There's got a few initiatives starting to kick goals, but it was interesting. You mentioned there you are in your lounge recording this conversation. I'm sitting in my home office, allowing you to record the conversation, and it just occurred to me that here I am and here you are doing what we planned to do pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And suddenly, with COVID hitting us now, our opportunity to work from home is what everybody's doing. It's becoming, this is the way to do business.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, can I say, share an insecurity I had pre-corona, because I've always been a pretty relaxed and casual guy. And, you know, you want to be doing things like this, but I think prior to COVID-19, there was always an expectation. You do a corporate video, it's you and I in suits in front of a white or a blue background and, you know, jazzy images and stuff like that. Whereas I think this is a lot more honest, a lot more accessible, and yep. You know, hopefully the viewers get some value out of it.
And in marketing speak, they say it's authentic.
Well, speaking of being authentic, you're a bit of a master on LinkedIn, Kieran. Do you want to tell us a bit about your business and where people can find you?
Sure. Yeah. Across.com.au is the web address, and that's across with two C's. Have to watch your spell check over there.
Yeah.
And it's got two C's in it because we talk about accountable and we talk about accessible.
Yeah.
Hence the two C's to play on that. But I do get around on LinkedIn quite a bit. You can follow my personal posts. It's probably the most common source of information. And I do like to comment. I've got an opinion on a lot of things.
Speaking of conversations, I'm not going to hold you to it, but, JobKeeper's a hot mess, but an exciting hot mess at the moment. What are your thoughts on it? Well, developments, where do you think it'll land?
Love JobKeeper. the big downside to it, of course, is that circumstances around JobKeeper keep changing, so the rules keep changing.
Yeah.
And you know, we can go back to JobKeeper 1 when the first announcement was made, and then we're all confused because the tax office kept changing the rules every day. They kept making more exceptions and whatever. But interestingly, right from the start, they said, "Hey, this is where it's at. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We'll keep tweaking it." And eventually on, I think, the 28th of May was the cutoff date for it all to start happening. But their promise was by the 28th of May, we will have it all sorted out.
Yeah.
Happened. People panicked in the meantime because they kept changing the rules. 28th of May came. Bang, tax office had it all sorted out.
Yeah.
Now, the scheme itself was you know, in some people's eyes, poorly thought out because it basically plumped everybody into the same basket. And sadly, there were some people who probably should have qualified for JobKeeper or deserve JobKeeper, missed out because the rules changed.
Yeah.
Or the rules didn't fit. But if you look at it in the context that the government was almost backed into a corner where they had to do something and they couldn't sit around and consider every permutation or possibility, it was like, bang, quickest thing we can do is pick a number, make it available, set some rules around it, and if there's a good case to make exceptions, we'll make exceptions on the fly.
Yeah.
So then comes JobKeeper 2. And all the kerfuffle about JobKeeper 2, you know, the government needs to, you know, you can't end JobKeeper. And my view always was, well, politics says they can't just cut it off on the 30th of September. Won't work.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something. So anyway, so they came out and they announced the JobKeeper version 2, and that included a review of your income for the April, May, June quarter.
Yeah.
As the first step. And if you had you met the benchmarks there, you would then look at your July, August, September quarter and see if you still qualified. And then you would go into the pool and continue on with a reduced number. Yeah. And of course, circumstances quickly changed. the comparison of the April, May, June quarter is now out the door.
Yeah.
And to qualify for JobKeeper 2, you only now need to look at July, August, September.
Yeah.
And there's a few things happen around there. And, of course, what we haven't seen yet is the alternate tests.
Of course, yes.
Which have been promised, but they haven't. And I'm sure they'll be based on the original alternate tests, but they haven't been announced yet. So we've just got to that point with JobKeeper right now where everybody, and I'll say everybody in inverted commas, I guess, is wanting to have all the answers now.
So I guess takeaways from that are JobKeeper is still uncertain. Uncertainty causes stress. Call a good bookkeeper or a good accountant. And Kieran May is a great find. If you find him on LinkedIn, he's always there to answer questions if you need them. But I guess on something that's probably a bit more important to me, given that I do a lot of restructuring work, particularly corporate restructuring work, the SGC amnesty, tell us about it. What's happening?
Hasn't that slipped under the radar with all the talk of JobKeeper?
Oh, absolutely.
So back in the end of April, at around about the time COVID-19 hit, there was some legislation was passed through the Parliament to introduce a superannuation guarantee amnesty for unpaid super dated back prior to the 31st of March the previous year.
Yeah.
We're talking about really old stuff. And the amnesty wasn't about excusing businesses from paying it. It was about a system to bring them back into compliance, to allow them to declare what they hadn't paid and to pay what they hadn't paid.
Yeah.
But not impose penalties on those amounts as you would do without the amnesty. Now, this was actually legislated and incorporated into that legislation was an end date for the amnesty.
Yeah.
And that is 7th of September.
Wow, that's coming up.
So, and this is legislated. The tax office, all the flexibility they've been able to show with JobKeeper and with late payments on PAYG instalments, you know, and GST instalments, they cannot extend any leniency on JobKeeper because there is an end date, on superannuation guarantee, because there is an end date in the legislation. And unless Parliament sits down next week when they come after their 14-day isolation, unless they sit down and change that end date, the amnesty finishes on the 7th of September. So what's required is for businesses to declare all their unpaid superannuation.
Yeah.
And either pay by the 7th of September and they will get the full benefit of the amnesty.
Yeah.
That is, there'll be no penalties and they will be able to claim those deductions.
Yeah.
On their income tax this year. If they don't pay or don't declare, number one, then the amnesty's off and the tax office will start chasing them because they do know who hasn't paid.
That's right.
They do know that. And if you do declare but do not pay by the 7th of September, they expect that you will have entered into an arrangement to make those instalments over the next couple of years.
Right.
Now with those instalments, they are within the amnesty rules, but they will not have the same extent of forgiveness. The tax deductibility of some of that disappears, but there will be no interest charged on it. There's no additional penalties, provided they stick with the rule. So there's a bit going on there as well.
I think
there's probably a lot of people who have just ignored it, number one, because they want to shut their eyes, and number two, have put it on the back burner because JobKeeper is more immediate and more important right now.
Yeah.
So people need to be aware that that's coming up and it's not too late to do something about it.
Yeah.
And again, that can be managed by a tax agent or a BAS agent. So they've started to call that group tax professionals.
Yeah.
But they must be registered tax agents or registered BAS agents. And you can find them on the Tax Practitioner Board website, tpb.gov.au. Or generally, if you go to the website for the Institute of Certified Bookkeepers, for example, they will provide you with a list of BAS agents. And of course, most accountants who are tax agents can do the job as well.
Yeah, of course.
But people need to get in quick.
And yeah, very quick.
And the complication is your records need to be up to date, so the paperwork can just be filled out and dealt with.
All right. So, I mean, takeaways on SGC are it's real. It ends on the 7th of September and people need to get in quick.
Yeah. And third one, don't ignore it. And then the tax office knows who has not paid.
Yeah.
And they probably know exactly how much has not been paid.
Absolutely. Well, so speaking of, the daunting things coming out of, COVID-19, we're talking about an extension and potential future end to JobKeeper 2. We're talking about the SGC amnesty, but, bringing it all back together, what can someone do today to make sure they're still around and prospering 12, 24 months from now?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I guess it's a bit like the SGC amnesty. JobKeeper's come along and it's taken our focus away from tomorrow, and everything's about making sure we're still here at the end of the day, and yeah, Tomorrow can take care of itself. But I keep asking the question of in LinkedIn, is will you still be here delivering what your customers will want when the crisis is over?
Yes.
And sadly, the answer for a lot of businesses is no. JobKeeper is propping them up.
Yeah.
And fair enough, it's doing the job it should do, and that was to give people breathing space.
Yeah.
To keep their employees engaged with the business. But throughout this period, I mean, we're living and breathing right now of how the world of business has changed because of COVID, and that is we need our office less than we did before. We won't travel as much as we did. Because we're not out and about, we're not drinking as many coffees at cafes that we did.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we are not necessarily avoiding, but just don't have occasion to consume. So what every business needs to do now is to have a look at what are my customers doing now that's different.
Yeah.
Will they be doing different when everything goes back to normal, as normal as it can be? And how do I change my business to make sure that when we come out the other side, that number one, I'm still in business.
Yeah. And
number two, I'm delivering what my customers will want when it's all over, knowing, of course, that crystal ball gazing is sometimes a little bit dangerous. But nonetheless, if we don't look to the future and explore the options and play out some scenarios, at least in our mind, chances are we're going to go along blissfully unaware that the world's changed around us and it's never going to go back to what it was.
Wow.
So sitting at the top of the tree, the strategy, people, and sometimes people get confused with that word, but I mean, what is strategy? It's only about, what does my business look like?
Yeah.
What will it look like? What will my customers want? Where will I need to operate? And, maybe even, why am I bothering?
Yeah.
For some people, it might be just, look, let's take the opportunity to bow out gracefully while I've still got a bit of equity in the business. And you see that all the time in your work with company liquidations.
Yeah.
The number of times that people who are in trouble just hold on too long.
Yeah.
And if you pull back a little bit, if they took some right consultation and advice, you can call advice or guidance or whatever, however you want to go. If they took the right advice and the right sort of thinking 6 months, 12 months earlier, one of two things might have happened. One is they might have changed the direction of the business,
yeah,
made it profitable and sustainable again. Or two, they might have made that decision 12 months ago to wind it up while they still had some equity in the business.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I guess that's probably a good jump off point as we approach sort of a comfortable listening and viewing time. But really what you're saying is you know, if people want to get across their business, you know, pun intended, then they should be reaching out to you today, because there's no better time than right now to take advantage of the opportunities and some of the amnesties in the market. But also, there's no time to waste. If you need to make a bad decision or a hard decision, sooner rather than later. And I guess it's been a pleasure hearing your thoughts, Kieran, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. I hope you have a great day.
And the coffee's good.
Indeed. Ciao.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. As with all Chamberlain's Law Firm podcasts, the information that you have heard in this podcast is not legal advice and cannot be considered legal advice. If you have any questions or queries, please do not hesitate to contact our office on 02 6188 3600 or otherwise look us up on our website, which is www.chamberlains.com.au.